Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Right, I think it's time now that we speak to Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband. Jan, we were looking for you earlier, but you decided, or we decided, to actually take the gambling board instead. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Jan, Netflix obviously announcing that it is going to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery, looking at their television studios and taking over HBO Max and HBO. This is huge. I mean, what does this mean for the industry? And I think what the question that came up earlier in our discussion, in our production discussion, was what happens if they do take over a big production house like this? What happens to the movies? I mean, is it still going to be relevant?
Yeah, that's so many big questions being asked by this massive consolidation in America. And on top of that, just before coming on air now, Paramount Skydance has announced that a public offer of $30 per share of Warner Brothers Discovery, which trumps Netflix's offer. It puts its acquisition offer at around $108 billion. That's 1.8 trillion rand. And this is what they term a hostile takeover. So what happened was three companies have vied for Warner Brothers Discovery: Netflix, Comcast, and Paramount, that we know of. The management of Warner Brothers accepted Netflix's offer, and that's the news that we received last week, was Netflix had made an offer on Warner Brothers', specifically its streaming and studios business. Its other business, the linear television business, was going to be spun out and listed separately on the stock exchange. And now Paramount has come in and said, we're taking the whole kit and caboodle for $30 a share instead of Netflix's $27.50 for just the streaming and studios division. The reason it's called a hostile takeover is because the management of Warner Brothers rejected Paramount's offer, and now Paramount is offering the $30 a share directly to shareholders of Warner Brothers Discovery. So yeah, things have just gotten quite spicy in this space. And either way, it would have tremendous repercussions in South Africa. So regarding what, you know, if Netflix does the buy, what happens to the movies in South Africa? Now, Netflix has said nothing will happen. There will movies. Warner Brothers is still going to make movies. There will still be theatrical releases, but it said that it would shorten those exclusivity timeframes probably over time. Specifically, co-CEO Ted Sarandos used the word evolve. So right now, you know, when a new movie is released in theaters, it runs for a couple of weeks before it starts moving into rentals and into streaming services. So you see that happening with Disney releases already in South Africa, where a big movie like Lilo and Stitch will play in the theaters for a few weeks, and then after it goes off circuit, it takes another few weeks, I believe, and then it comes on Disney Plus. And so Netflix is talking about shortening those time frames because it believes that they're not consumer friendly. But other than that, no, the movies and theatrical releases will continue. There will still be big screens and popcorn and all that good stuff. But Netflix, you know, just has like a slightly different vision of how those release time frames should work.
So you would reduce that time frame, right, just to a few weeks. And yes, the cinemas will still be there, but is there still going to be a demand? I mean, you reduce that to a few weeks. It's going to arrive on Netflix. It's not a cheap exercise going into the cinema. I mean, is there going to be enough bums on seats?
Yeah. So now this is where things get interesting, right? Is how compelling an offer is going to the big screen cinema over watching at home, and so all of a sudden it comes about who can provide the better experience. So if big screen cinema can provide the better experience to justify the ticket price, outside the exclusivity window, then it can still make good money. But if the only thing it has going for it is the exclusivity window, essentially what Netflix is saying is that's not good enough. The other thing Netflix is saying is the geographic licensing and geographic launch staggering is bad. So one of Netflix's sort of most culturally impactful releases of the year was K-pop Demon Hunters. Mm-hmm. And the reason it got so, like, that could have been probably been a theatrical release that performed really well, but part of its massive success was it was released all around the world at the same time. It was just kind of this thing that came on the service unexpectedly, no hype, and this massive community sprung up around it. And so if you stagger the releases, so in South Africa, we often get stuff late in terms of theatrical releases. Not always, but sometimes the sort of more niche art stuff, the Sundance stuff, we never get. The only way you watch that is if you pirate it. And so Netflix is saying that is suboptimal. That is not a great experience for anybody involved. Plus, it encourages piracy. So, you know, why do that? Just, you know, release stuff all around the world at the same time. And have people enjoy stuff at the same time. So that's sort of one aspect of Netflix's thinking around this, because like the whole model of geographic licensing bit Netflix in the past. It made its life so difficult, and so it hates it. And so that's something that I think Netflix would want to get rid of. Paramount is far more traditional. So I would expect that a buyout of Warner Brothers Discovery would be very much business as usual. But there's still potential repercussions here, because DStv MultiChoice is right now in the midst of renegotiations for 12 Warner Brothers channels. It's already lost 4 Paramount-owned channels, 2 directly owned by Paramount and 2 that are a Paramount partnership. And it's on, and 12 are up in the air that are owned by Warner Brothers. And if it can't reach a deal by the end of the year, the contract expires and it could lose those 12 channels. Now, the other thing that might happen here is if somebody pays $108 billion for a company, it's going to want good return on investment. And so it might want to jack up the prices to DStv, which DStv might not want to pay. So yeah, the whole thing gets quite messy when you look at the various subdivisions of Warner Brothers, because part of the subdivision of Warner Brothers is also HBO, and you've mentioned HBO and HBO Max, and you can see that you could see that for example, if Netflix buys Warner Brothers, that the content on Showmax that is from HBO could very easily disappear and be integrated into Netflix. In fact, Netflix has said that's its ambition. So not specifically naming Showmax, of course, but saying that the HBO content on HBO Max would be integrated into Netflix. So yeah, whichever way this deal goes, it's got huge potential ramifications for the pay TV space in South Africa.
It's all getting very complicated as well. I mean, that is a much bigger offer that's coming from Paramount as well. But I just want to, I mean, that's going to be a tough one, which way they're going to go. And if it's a hostile takeover, they may have very little choice in it. But I want to come back and just look at the, you know, the cinema operators and look at the local front. You've got, yes. There's when you talk about the repercussions, we look at what's going to happen with DStv. DStv has just reduced its prices. And of course, it's also just gone through a management change there with Canal Plus taking over there. And then you look at our local operators like Steak and Co, already under so much of pressure. It isn't a great economy at the moment. We've got load shedding, and also they're seeing declining attendance. I mean, if these deals, and it looks like both deals could affect us here in the end, but what would it mean for us locally? For the cinemas and job losses?
Yeah, it's unfortunately too early to say there. Because you've got the big cinema operators, Ster-Kinekor, New Metro, but then you've got the independent ones as well. Some are doing better than others. Ster-Kinekor has been under severe pressure, but all of them are sort of finding alternative ways to make money by hosting different events, not purely focusing on movies and theatrical releases, but hosting all kinds of other stuff in the prime real estate that they own in these, or at least rent in these, South Africa's biggest malls and so on. So the loss of cinema, theatrical release movies would be a huge blow, obviously. But Netflix has said that it's not looking to upset the apple cart. It'll evolve the model over time in hopefully a way that makes sense, and hopefully that evolution means that our local movie operators will have time to adapt to that new model as well. It's going to come down to what do you offer. To your customer that they will not be able to get through a Netflix subscription at home, either on their home TV or through their phone. And so you've got to make sure that you bring that service level and that experience to your end user to justify the ticket price over the monthly, what they're already paying for their monthly Netflix subscription.
Yeah, this could also actually be good news for local production. I mean, Netflix is already showing so much more content, locally produced content. This could actually be great for the continent.
It could, and there's already a huge competition here now for that, because obviously the power in the South African waters with regards to local content is MultiChoice. DStv and Showmax are the ones who have been championing that, and then with the free to air guys, eMedia and the SABC also doing their part, but Netflix has done a lot, and not just on the local production front. There's great local productions on Netflix, by the way, many of which I can highly recommend. Excellent production quality, great performances. And so Netflix is investing in South African productions and across the continent as well, African productions. And then the idea is, from Netflix's side, is to do things like a Squid Game, right? Yeah. So even though it's in a foreign language, it becomes like a global phenomenon if the story is good enough. And the other thing we're seeing in South Africa is, I'm just cognizant of time, huge international productions like One Piece being produced in South Africa with global casts. That's incredible to see.
Jan, thank you so much. And I'm sorry I had to rush you up because we are now over time. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband. And thank you. That's it from me. I'll be back with you again tomorrow.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.